Sunday, February 28th, 2021. Welcome, our scriptures for this second Sunday of Lent are Psalms 32, 1 through 7, Romans 4, 1 through 8, and Luke 7, 36 through 50. So as we continue to keep moving forward, our focus this week is forgiveness. Psalms 32, 1 through 7, David writes, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. For when I keep silent, my bones waste away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Our second reading in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Paul writes, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. And what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of blessedness of a man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. So blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." In our gospel reading in Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50, Jesus anointed by the sinful woman. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled their debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Well, Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. But then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say something among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. go in peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Forgiveness. Well, our scripture this week seems to tell us that there are two kinds of people in this world. So I decided to make up a list, and here's just a few. The world is divided into two kinds of people. Those that suck the life out of every day, and those that let every day suck the life out of them. And the world is divided into two kinds of people. Those who walk in a room and say, "There you are," and those who say, "Here I am." And the world is just divided into two kinds of people. Those with the courage that hangs on, and those with the courage that lets go. And the world is divided into two kinds of people, pitchers and catchers. The world is divided into two kinds of people, those who finish what they start and those who start and never finish. Of course, unless you're an old mechanic like me who start what they finish. And the world is divided into two kinds of people, those who divide the world into two kinds of people and those who don't. Can you take one more? The world is divided into two kinds of people, those who are control junkies and those who are out of control. So any control freaks out there today, besides myself? We control freaks, we count every contingency, and we manage every moment. And each step we take in life is precisely plotted before our foot leaves the ground. By trying to control the actions of others around us, we live in the illusion that we are in control of our lives and our own future is fixed. The truth? We control freaks are no more in control of our lives than anyone else. Look at all that's happening during this pandemic that's out of our control. Or in more recent events like the cold weather in Texas and the out of control tragedies happening there with the loss of electricity, the shortage of water, the unheard of cold temperatures. It's enough to drive control freaks crazy. Last week's cold wave across the Midwest may have made the out of controllers among us feel justified. You know, by taking big risk, refusing to plan ahead, springing into the spur of the moment's decisions. Out of control people might seem to be embracing the unknown or courting chaos, yet in reality, out-of-control people have simply found a different way to control their own lives. They plan to have no plan. Out-of-control people lead the way and live their way. They have a difficult time in following others. So the control freaks and the out-of-controllers are really just a flip side of the same record, both having the same song on either side. The repeating message of this one record is, "I did it my way." You know, like Frank Sinatra on one side and Elvis Presley on the other. But there is a true opposite to this. Let's call it a controlled, centered attitude, better known as faith. So we encountered the alternative in our first reading. In Psalms 32, David writes a grateful testimony of joy for God's love of forgiveness toward those with integrity. They confess their sins and are receptive to God's rule in their lives. And Paul reminds us in the second reading in Romans 4, Abraham, instead of my way control, Abraham opted for faith. Already an old man and wandering in a land where he was a resident alien, Abraham listened to the words and the promises of a deity he barely knew. Abraham believed God. Note that the Bible doesn't say Abraham believed in God. No, rather, Abraham believed God. There was no lack of gods to believe in within Abraham's world. Pagan cultures devotedly believed in a multitude of gods, deities who dished out curses and crops. They demanded blood and were bought off with gold. Abraham believed in God enough to start out on a long journey as directed by God. But until Genesis 15, there is no real dialogue between God and Abraham. Abraham goes where he's told and does what he is instructed without any comment. He has no comeback to these divine directives. And it's not until Genesis 15, verse 2, that Abraham finally speaks back to God, mourning the fact that he still has no child, no heir for his own house. And when God consoles Abraham and once again promises him descendants as numerous as the stars, we read the first report of Abraham's personal reaction to this divine dialogue. He believed God, Genesis 15:6. Abraham's faith was born in the relationship that grew between himself and God. Remember this. Faith is not to believe in God. Faith is to believe God. Abraham believed God. He believed God had a purpose. He believed God had his back. When Abraham believed God, he surrendered control of his life over to God without reservation or hesitation. Abraham trusted and obeyed God and stepped forward in faith. So in our gospel reading, Luke tells us of an encounter Jesus had with two kinds of people. Simon, who believed in God, and the sinful woman who believed God. But Jesus invited to join Simon, the Pharisees, for dinner. And why Simon invited Jesus is anybody's guess. Maybe Simon sincerely wanted to know Jesus. Maybe dinner was a trap. Maybe Simon was just curious and decided to find out for himself about the man of growing notoriety. Whatever the motive, Jesus accepts the invitation. So dinner parties of the rich and the famous in our day take place in secluded mansions or heavily guarded ballrooms. Such was not the case in Jesus' day. Dining happened in open courtyards, in public, and in open kind of place. So while Jesus and Simon ate bread and drank wine, pedestrians passed by. Some of them stopped to listen. One was a woman of the night who lived a sinful life in that town. When she saw Jesus reclining at Simon's table, she stood beside him, weeping, wetting his feet with her tears, then doing something no respectable woman would do in public. She let her hair down and dried the tears with her hair, kissed his feet, and poured perfume on them. Quite a moving sight that causes Simon concern and gives Jesus the opportunity to teach a powerful lesson about forgiveness. The scene leaves Simon and his guest and with us with the same questions. So what does this lesson in forgiveness have to do with what's taking place? And who is this who is even forgives sins? So forgiveness is a debt canceled. It's trying to explain things to Simon. Jesus tells a story. So it's a story about two men who owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, the other owed 50, but neither could pay. So the lender canceled the debt for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Well, Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. But Simon, he still didn't understand what Jesus was teaching. So he pointed out what the sinful woman had done. She believed Jesus was the Messiah and gave him the love that he deserved. She had a controlled, centered attitude. She believed God. She had faith. Now, forgiveness is the cancellation of a debt. And forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. It requires a God-controlled, centered attitude. Forgiveness is made possible by the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By his blood, the debt of sin is canceled only if we believe God. Forgiveness is life restored. Well, Paul reminds us if we have faith, a God-controlled centered attitude. As he wrote in Colossians 3, 2 through 4, it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So let us never forget that God takes people where they are and loves them back to life. He not only restores our souls, he restores our self-worth, our value. That's what forgiveness is all about. It's a life restored, brought back to life. So make this Lenten season be about moving forward. Let's not pretend that it is significant to deny ourselves chocolate or red meat or Blue Bloods TV shows. What would be significant this Lenten season would be if we could strive to deny ourselves. Not just deny to ourselves, deny our self-centered, self-concerned. Deny our need to control our destiny. Deny the my way directionality of our lives and instead have faith, a God-controlled, centered attitude. So the world is divided into two kinds of believers. Those who love little believe in God, and those who love much believe God. Faith is not believe in God. Faith is to believe God. Forgiveness is ours when we love much, have faith, believe God. It is time to have faith, have trust, and believe God. This Lent, will you become like David or like Abraham, like the sinful woman? Love much, become a believe God disciple, and faithfully follow Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. That's what this Lenten season is all about. Jesus died on the cross so that we may have forgiveness if we believe God. In his service, this is Pastor Joe.